Every time I hear that song, it makes me think about what the scripture says about that all the animals came to the ark, that Noah didn't have to herd them up, having dogs out there and trying to get them in. They come on their own. God led them right to the ark. But you often wonder why some of them got on that ark, because we have to deal with some of them today, don't we? All the insect and things like that. But all animals, all insects, guess what? Have a purpose in life, just as we do. So God, whatever He made, it was all good. And we need to just be thankful. Amen? Well, this morning we're going to be, let me do a quick check here. Satan doesn't want me to talk about this subject today. There it is. The tongue is a fire. How many of you have a tongue? Some of you don't. You didn't raise your hand. You have. Well, James has a lot to say about the tongue. And evidently, back in when he wrote this, there was some concern and wanted to put some things in order for us to understand that there's a rightful use for the tongue, and it should be for the good and not for the bad. So first of all, I want to begin with, in your outline this morning, I added some extra scriptures in the old and new that talks about the tongue. In Proverbs, which Solomon wrote most of Proverbs, might be in a few in the middle that not sure of, but first part and the latter part of Proverbs, Solomon did write, we have a record of, and he says that the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruins. And then Jesus speaks about this as well in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. And Jesus is saying, words reveal your character. And he says here in verse 37 of Matthew 12, for your words you will be justified. Mind you now, Jesus is saying this. For your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, going to James chapter 3, verse 1, where it says that the tongue is a fire. Verse 1 says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren. Now, when James is talking about those who are in the words, teaching the truth, being leaders in the church, and so forth. But that can be any realm of life where we're to share the truth and not give false impressions of what we're saying. It should always be truth. So let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, he's talking to the church, knowing that as such we incur a stricter judgment. And then verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is perfect man. So how many of us are perfect here this morning? You haven't stumbled, right? Or you have stumbled? Okay. Able to bridle the whole body as well. In verse 3, now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And that is true. If you've ever had any dealings with mules and horses, you can control them with that bit in their mouth. In verse 4, look at the ships also, though they are great and are driven by strong winds are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclinations of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. And see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. In verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. There it is. That's where I got my title. The tongue is a fire. The very word of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Pretty strong words James is speaking there. Verse 7. For every species of beast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. I'm sorry. I went too far. I got carried away in my reading here. Let's go back here. There we go. Verse 6. Now, looking at what James is saying here, we need to be aware of our tongue and what we say and how we carry out our actions. It reminds me of a story about the children of a prominent family decided to create for their father a birthday, a book of the family history. And we all have probably a book or a family tree of some sort that we put together. And this is what this family was doing. And they hired a professional biographer to do the work carefully, warning him of the black sheep. That he had a problem. Now, Uncle George had been executed in an electric chair for murder. And a biographer, he assured the children, and he said, I can handle that situation so that there will be no embarrassment. I will merely say that Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at the important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came a shock to all. So, James has been pronouncing judgment on the separation between faith that we've been studying and talking about and works. And in no area is this more likely than the area of human speech. While Christians profess one thing with their speech, they often practice something quite different. And often that happens, and that's what James is dealing with here in this scripture. Nothing is open more mistake, is made more mistakes probably than the tongue. And John Calvin once said, there is nothing more slippery or loose than the tongue. There it is. So, the Bible makes control and proper use of the tongue a matter of great importance. And we can learn a lot. And we may not know this unless we read what James is saying. And we read the Bible where Jesus talks about that. And in the Old Testament, Solomon deals with that as well. So the Bible makes the control and proper use of the tongue a matter of great importance. So, the general thought here in chapter 3, here in James, is that another way to measure maturity is the believer's power over the tongue. So, James moves from idle faith to idle speech. And just as disturbing as those who use faith or have faith and no works are those who substitute works for works, or words for works. Now, though the tongue is small, as the scripture says here, it is powerful and far more prone to excess, perversion, and pollution. So that's what we want to talk about this morning. And that stricter judgment comes straight from verse 1 here, where it says again, and it begins with this statement of Christian teachers' responsibility. And you know, as we stand before a congregation, as we stand before people, and as we teach the word, as we preach the word, and as we share it, we have an awesome responsibility of interpreting the truth from the Bible, not giving false impressions of what the Bible teaches, but being led by the power of the Holy Spirit to know exactly what God would have us to share, teachers or preachers or church leaders. And it's, we have an awesome responsibility. And when I was called by God to become a pastor and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, I shuddered at that. That, you know, I prayed, Lord, whatever I preach, I want to be true to your calling, true to your word, not to lead people astray or teach anything that is not according to your word of God. And we are held at a high standard for doing that. And that's what James is saying here in this verse here. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur stricter judgment. So, James is saying we're going to be held accountable. What we share, what we teach, if we lead someone astray. So again, with the address by my brethren, James begins a new topic. He began in chapters 1 and 2 talking about faith and works. And so for now, he turns to the tongue. And when you're looking at what James is saying here this morning, the position of the teacher was very important. The Jewish culture that predominated these churches highly prized the office of a teacher. And the word rabbi actually means my great one. If you recall, as you read through the Gospels, many times Jesus was called rabbi, teacher, master. And it refers to my great one. And Jesus was the great one. He was perfect in all ways. And whatever he shared, he said, I don't share, I don't teach, or I don't do anything except what the Father tells me to share. And we should be the same way as we stand before people and teach the Word of God or preach it or share it in some way, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be like that, knowing that Christ himself always sought the Heavenly Father before he did anything. I don't do anything except what the Father tells me. So the position of the teacher offered respect, prominence, prestige, and authority of many sorts of the most high honor. Now, mixed emotions can drive people to seek to teach. Therefore, not everyone, according to what James is saying here, should become teachers. The reason I say that, the Bible says it's a calling. God places that calling in our lives. So the reason set forth is that teachers incur a strict responsibility before God, as a result, will incur more severe standard of judgment. Now, teaching is a great and high calling. One of the highest callings in the world. Now, we look at many people who are set in offices, like the president and other leaders of our nation and so forth, but there is not a higher calling in this world than what God places in a human being's life, to teach or preach or share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he is the ultimate one. He is the God, all purpose and power and all knowing. And there's not a greater higher calling and not displaying any other calling in life, because we all have a calling. And when you carry out that calling in your life and you do it as you do it unto the Lord, then you're doing what you have been called to do, and you still have an awesome responsibility of living out your life according to what James is saying here in this verse here. So, teaching, again, is a great and high calling, but those who teach must understand their greater responsibility and accountability due to their great influence. And Luke chapter 20, verse 47 talks about it. And Matthew, actually, if you have time to read Matthew chapter 23:1-33, it tells you of the influence that we all have when we are conducting our lives in a manner of what God is expecting in our lives. So, going back to what James is saying, teachers must be careful what they say about their words and how they live out their life, because it makes a difference. So, they must use their tongue to share God's truth and refrain from sinning with their tongue. We have to be careful what we say with our tongue, because it can be uplifting or it can be destructive, especially and cause sin in our life. So, furthermore, teachers must practice what they teach, otherwise they are what the Bible calls hypocrites. For example, a doctor who neglects his health, or an accountant who doesn't balance his checkbook, or an attorney in trouble with the law contradicts what they really stand for if they do these things. And again, likewise, James says the Bible teachers are teachers who do not use their tongue to develop or build up their listeners in the truth contradicts the reason for their being or their purpose in life. So, James is talking about church leaders. And church leaders come with responsibilities. And no one should take a position of leadership in the church unless he or she is prepared to be honest, pure, loving in one's lifestyle. It all has to do with the love of God in your life. And we portray that, then what we teach is going to be true. So leadership is a privilege. It is a privilege. And with privilege comes responsibility. And God holds teachers of his truth doubly responsible, because we who lead are in a position where we can either draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ or we can lead them astray. For example, if you've ever read the biography or autobiography of Mark Twain, at one time he was a very religious man. And what happened in his life was he became very discouraged. Church leaders were largely to blame for his becoming hostile to the Bible and the church Christian faith. And as he grew up, he knew elders, he knew church leaders who owned slaves and abused them. And he heard men using foul language and saw them practice dishonesty during the week after speaking piously in church on Sunday. He listened to ministers use the Bible to justify slavery. And although he saw genuine love of Jesus Christ in some people, like his mother and like his wife, he was still very disturbed by the teaching and the poor example of church leaders, that he became bitter towards the things of God. That's what happens when the tongue is out of control. See, indeed, it is a privilege for a pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, or a Bible club teacher it's also an awesome responsibility. So let us make sure that we attract people to the Savior rather than to turn them away. You know, the second thing I want to talk about this morning is control priority. In verse 2 explains the need to control the tongue. It says, "For we all stumble in many ways." Now, when you look at that stumbles, and it's referring to the tongue and what we say or what we do. Even our actions can be a way that we stumble. But the tongue is what James is talking about. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, when you're looking at this, the concern for responsibility use of the tongue is expanded to all people. And all in the position, in this Greek word here, James uses indicating that he to make ships lose, you know, loose lips sink ships. I mean, you've heard that. Now, I know, Ken, if you was in the Navy, Air Force, I'm sorry. How many's in the Navy? So many of you have heard that, haven't you? Loose lips sink ships. And we all show our imperfections and sinfulness by committing sins of the tongue. So in the same way, we demonstrate our maturity by controlling the tongue. Now, has anybody had any of that trouble this week? You also have heard you got to bite your tongue, and that would hurt if you bite your tongue. But in other words, it hurts other people by the words that we say, or the things that we say that gets back to someone else, especially if it's about them, about something that you are acquainted with. So our text teaches that if a person disciplines his tongue, he can control the whole body. And that's what James is saying here. If we control that, we control the whole body. Even though it's so small, the tongue, but it's like a fire according to the word too. So if a person can bring the tongue under control, he or she can keep the other areas of their lives in check as well. So if you're having difficulty disciplining that area in your life, start first with the tongue, and all the other areas of your life will merely fall in place. During World War II, posters everywhere talked about loose lips sink ships. But loose lips can also what? Wreck lives. And what one says and what one does says are both important. Jesus in the gospel says, "Let your yea be yea and your nay nay." So that's speaking the truth. You know, there's a lot of humor that we like to share and stuff like that. But I believe when Jesus is talking about our yea be yea and our nay nay, is mean in everything that we say may yet be proclaimed as the truth. So proper speech is not only saying the right words at the right time, but it's also controlling your desire to say what you shouldn't say. Examples of untamed tongue including gossiping and putting others down, bragging and manipulating and false teaching, overstating, complaining, bragging, and so forth. Before you speak, I'm just thinking this morning, before we speak, we need to say, what is what I want to say true? Is it necessary or is it kind? If we were thinking about that each time we speak, you know, we would say the right thing. And passing along gossip may seem harmless, but someone pays an undeserved price if we are not careful about the truth. And the Word of God is all about the truth. And that's what we should be about as well. Never take lightly the misuse of the tongue to do to others or to bring them harm. And then when we're looking at our closure here, James, I believe, is saying to every one of us and to his listeners there in the church when he wrote this particular chapter, Christians need constant diligence and discipline. When I think about the discipline, Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 5 when he gave the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those is that self-control. That's the very last one, the ninth one. Nowhere is this more necessary than in the use of the tongue. So Christians need to help from God to speak wisely. All Christians should take this chapter and read it over and over and over. We need to take it to heart. Not just leaders and teachers, all Christians need to control what they say. And all types of speech, private and public, need to be brought under Christ's control. And the only sure cure for selfless motivation, teaching, and speaking is true repentance. And I think it's what James is saying here. If there's a misword spoken or said or acted out, then the only way to get full control is be motivated by true repentance. And this involves being what I call honest and humble before God, admitting in sin. So if you want to turn on over to what James has to say about that in chapter 4, read verses 6 through 10. So only then will we be able to avoid sinful speech and bring healing to our Christian community, to our lives, as we do what James says here, according to the truths that we are given in his word. I'm going to go back to and read Matthew chapter 12, verse 37 again, where Jesus himself speaks about this. For by your words you will be justified. And when we're saved, we're only justified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we are conscious about we belong to Christ, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, and we are sealed and we are accountable. You know, the Bible also says that our body is the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we're conscious of that, as James would say, you know, we would be less to speak off turn or key or off words that would bring harm or to others as well as ourselves. And Jesus goes on to say, and by your words you will be condemned. In John chapter 3, where Jesus says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that man may have eternal life. So if we bring condemnation on, it's by ourselves, our own doing. And Jesus is not out to condemn anyone. We condemn ourselves. And that's what James is saying here. And that's what Jesus is saying here. By your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be telling truth. And by your words, you can be condemned. But these are powerful words. This is a powerful message that James relates to us. And as we read it and understand it, and as we're conscious each day, of our life, as we go about our life and what we speak and what we say, may we all be conscious. And I would add to this, always be honest in your thoughts and in your words. And if you're always honest with your thoughts and your words, and you speak them in kindness and love, then that refers back. Then you can be a perfect man. You can be a perfect person in what you say and do. We make mistakes in all of those things, but Jesus says, work towards perfection. And that's what Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. That means be complete in following the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we would think about that each morning as we get up, start a new day, say, Lord, control my tongue. You know me from inside and out. And even Psalms talks about the lips. And Lord, control my speech, control my actions, control my life. And if we are really sincere with the Lord, He will be sincere in taking those things, removing those things, the thoughts. You know, first of all, before we speak, the thought begins up here, doesn't it? It starts right here in our mind, in our brain. So we can control that. You know how? Because we have a choice. And before we say, you think. Going back to when I was, Brenda and I was senior in high school, our English teacher, Mr. Harmon, was a godly man, and he preached as well. And on his board, all around the corners of the chalkboard, he said, think, 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 all the way around the room. He had that word, think. And I've never forgotten that. And one day he mentioned, think before you speak. Think before you act. And I've never forgotten that. My grandfather used to say that. Mike, you think about what you're going to do before you do it. You think about what you're going to say before you say it. I've heard him say that over and over and over. Never left me. I try to do that. Sometimes we're all guilty. It slips out, but you can't get it back, can you? Can't get it back. It's like a man who had a toe sack of feathers, and he was trying to explain to a man about the way he spoke and his words he said, and he came and he poured it on his yard. And he said, why'd you do that? He said, just to give you an example. About that time, a big puff of strong wind came through and blew all those feathers off his lawn to somewhere else. And he said, now, get those back. Can you get them back? And the man says, no. And he said, neither can you take your words back that you always sing and so forth. It taught him a lesson about speaking out of turn and so forth. And James gives us that lesson this morning. We need to take it very serious. Anything the Word of God says, we need to take it very seriously, that we might mature in our faith and be strong in our witness. Because, you know, somebody's always watching you. Someone is always watching. Especially the little ones that come up. Because I hear little ones saying stuff out of the way. And I said, they didn't learn that on their own. They got it from higher up. The adult. The authority. The authority figure in their life. I hear it all the time. And I don't have to ask them, where'd you hear that? Where'd you get that? Because often you know. So adults, we need to be careful when we speak or say something. Always speak the truth, and we'll be blessed by it. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that you spoke through men like James, and James is not one to hold anything back. He don't sugarcoat anything, and it's for our good, and your word is for our good. It is to lift us up and make us strong and steadfast to live out our life. So, I mean, we don't have to wonder what we're supposed to do on a daily basis, especially as Christians, as spiritual leaders, as children of God. Because we know that your word speaks the truth, and we are to live out that truth. But the only way we're going to know that truth is that we read it. We read your word, and we pray and say, Lord, filter my thoughts. Help me when I speak truth, and not something that I've heard from someone else or it just comes into my mind. But help me to speak clear and pure thoughts, and not even give thought and not even let it enter into my mind something that's not tasteful. Lord, I pray that each one of us will take heed and notice of what James says here this morning, and especially, Lord, when we are walking close to you, that we're conscious of your Holy Spirit working, wanting to make us better. Help us to live out our life more holy and righteous before you. Lord, whatever the decisions are this morning, let your will be done. If someone here today to know you as their personal Savior, and Lord, through the Holy Spirit, this the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I just pray that they will make that decision this morning. As we sing, Lord, help us be mindful of your truth. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing, More Love to Thee.